Hi, good morning, everyone. How are you today? It's my pleasure to introduce our guest preacher this morning. We have the privilege of having Amy Burton here. She attends West quite frequently. She is the accounting specialist at Wesley Community Development. So please, when she comes out, give her a warm welcome.
How long is this going to take?
That's really up to you.
Right then.
I know how this bit goes. My name is Elton Hercules John. And I'm an alcoholic. And a cocaine addict. And a sex addict. And a bulimic. Also a shopaholic who has problems with weed, prescription drugs, and anger management.
Why are you here now?
Well, my dealer was out of town. I thought this seemed like a good alternative. Yeah, because I want to get better.
So good morning. As Brad said, I am Amy Burton, and I'm going to move this table for just a minute. I'm glad to be here with you this morning. So Faith at the Movies. I want us to think about things just a little bit before we dig into Rocket Man, but why do we go to the movies? Think about that. Why do you go to the movies? Whether you go to a theater or why do you watch movies at home? The movie industry, which includes theaters, home streaming services, and made-for-TV movies, made $136 billion last year. That's B, billion. Why do we spend our hard-earned money on the movies? If we think about it, most movies end with a happy ending. Even the ones that are historical. Think about Titanic. We know what happened to the boat. It sunk. But in the movie, they brought in Jack and Rose and brought in a love story. Action-adventure movies. We think the hero is going to be defeated. But in the end, the hero overcomes the villain and triumphs. Even in those Hallmark movies that are, right now I know it's Christmas Hallmark time, even in those, something happens. Maybe it's somebody turned the heat up on the greenhouse and killed all the plants right before the flower show. But in the end, they find one flower that can be entered. We're all looking for the happy ending. And that's why we go to the movies. This morning, we're looking at the movie Rocket Man. You just saw a clip from that. Rocket Man is a biopic of the life of Elton John. And what biopic means is it's not exactly 100% factual. So in this movie, some of the timelines don't match up exactly to Elton John's life. Some of the music is seen in the movie earlier than it came out on the charts. Some of the details of his life are expanded and enhanced to make a good movie. But it's based loosely on the life of Elton John. Maybe some of you are like me and grew up listening to Elton John music. And if you remember, the more popular and the more hits Elton John had, the more over the top his concerts and his costumes were. And the one thing we didn't know at the time is the more he was using alcohol and drugs to be able to perform. So in this movie, the clip you saw, Elton, it's at the very beginning of the movie, but it takes place midway through his career. And what has happened is it's the beginning of a concert, and instead of going on stage, Elton John leaves to go to rehab. And he ends up at this AA meeting, and he burst in wearing this elaborate, outrageous costume. And I don't know if any of you noticed, but if you look back at that costume again, he is wearing a costume that looks somewhat like a combination between a devil, because it had horns, it was an orangey-red color, and an angel, it had wings. Don't we all live there somewhere in between sometimes? So he burst into the AA meeting, and he does what we all have seen portrayed in movies and on TV with an AA meeting. He introduces himself and says, "I'm Elton Hercules John, and I am an alcoholic," and he goes on to list the other addictions that he is dealing with. And then they ask him, "Why are you here?" Isn't that a question for all of us this morning? Why are we here? And after Elton John gives a flip answer, then he says, "Because I want to get better. Because I want to get better." Elton John was never comfortable with himself. He grew up in a home where he did not feel loved. His mother often told him that he wasn't worth anything and didn't show him a lot of love. His father left, and he just didn't feel like he was important. He also was very shy. And so here he is as he grows into adulthood. He is this phenomenal musician, and they want to put him out on a stage. If any of you are shy, have stage fright, you can imagine thousands of people there, and you're afraid to be out on the stage. And so he moves into an ongoing, more elaborate costume, more alcohol, more drugs, to try and be able to deal with the stage fright. And so he ends up in a place where he doesn't really like himself. With all of the talent and all of the success that Elton John had, there's still one thing Elton John did not have, and he didn't choose to have. He did not choose to love or accept himself. How many of us struggle with the same things that Elton John does? He was broken. There was brokenness in him, and he didn't know quite how to fix it. All of us have brokenness in us. Maybe it's a failed relationship. Maybe we don't feel like we have been a good parent. We didn't finish school. We don't have the job we wish we had. Maybe we've done something in our past that hurt someone else. Or maybe we did something in our past that no one knows about, but we're still carrying it around with us as a weight. There are things in each one of us that keeps us from feeling like we can be loved, like we can fully accept ourselves. We feel like the failures and the brokenness make us a little less desirable, a little less lovable, less than what we are supposed to be. And we often think these things will keep God from loving us. And for some, they even use these things as a way to say, "You know what? I've done these things, or I haven't made this level of success, and so I'm not lovable. God can't love me, and I'm not savable. So why bother?" Well, this morning, I want to tell you I'm not a magician, I'm not a super healer, I'm not a therapist, but I'm going to share some scripture with you that I hope will help you see things just a little bit differently. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 31 through 35 and 38 through 39. I'm going to read this from the Message because I think it's a little more relevant to today than some of the other translations. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. In this scripture, we heard a lot of powerful words about God. First, we hear that when God is on our side, and just let me tell you, God is on our side, all of us, because God created each and every one of us, and so God is always with us. And when God is for us, nothing can be against us. We are not losers when we believe in God, because God is always with us. How do we know this? Because God was willing to sacrifice his own son for us and on our behalf. God's people had been doing all kinds of things. Look back over the Old Testament. They were disobeying the food laws and the clothing laws. They were hurting one another. They weren't following the ways God had given them to live. And so God tried many things. I mean, you can read back over the plagues, and they continued to just disobey God. And so God sent his son in the form of a tiny baby to live and grow among the people, to help them learn how to live their lives better. And still what happened? They still disobeyed God. And so God was willing to sacrifice his only son so that we might have life. In life today, there's a saying that a lot of us hear over and over. It's keep your eye on the prize. You hear it a lot in the sports world, and you hear it other places. And I want to remind you today that we need to keep our eye on the prize. And the prize that we have is Jesus Christ. We need to keep our eye on the prize of Jesus Christ as we move through our daily lives. The other thing we find in this scripture that's there that we need to hear about is that God loves us, and neither life nor death nor any long list of things, and there was quite a long list there, none of that separates us from God's love. God created us. God knows who we are. He knit us together, and he made us these wonderful people and wonderful creatures that we are, and he loves us no matter what. Our faith in Jesus, it is what will heal us, and it is what will save us. The theme of today's passage is love. It's an unending love. It is God's love for us. In this world where we have sayings of, I think, therefore I am, and that has evolved into so many other little this and this. I know one is, I shop, therefore I am. I have some good news for each one of you today. You are loved by God, therefore you are lovable. You are loved by God, and therefore you are worthy of love. We each need to remember that as we progress through our lives. whatever barriers or obstacles we throw up, God doesn't care. God loves us anyway. We just need to believe. We need to have faith that God is present in order for us to feel that love. The work of God through Jesus Christ is a clue to how God will work in each one of us. When he was willing to sacrifice his only son, imagine how much he will sacrifice for each one of us. We just need to work to feel and know the love of God. And so in this clip, this second clip from the movie Rocket Man, I want you to really see how Elton has progressed throughout his time in rehab.
Maybe I should have tried to be more ordinary. I don't know.
You was never ordinary.
Look at you. In here, talking about your feelings. What a waste of time.
Mum, I know it was never easy. And I hope you can forgive me. Because I've realized that's what we need to do now. Forgive each other.
Now, your problem is you're selfish.
No. My problem was I believed you loved me. And you're incapable of it. I gave everything to keep something that I never even had in the first place.
I always thought you was an introverted extrovert.
A what?
He's shy. He's always been shy.
It's all his father's fault.
Don't blame me. It'd have been strange regardless.
Actually, I think I'm okay with strange.
God, not him.
Both of you, stop. I'm not going to allow you to talk to me like this anymore.
It's about time you said that.
Bernie, I never told you how much I need you.
No. I love you, man. Always have, always will. You write songs that millions of people love. And that's what's important. You just need to remember who you are. And be okay with it.
One of our biggest obstacles to fully living into God's love is ourselves. The things in our head, the things that we think about, keep us from fully being who God created us to be. In rehab, Elton John learned how to accept himself and to be okay with it. If you follow Elton John, you know that he is 29 years sober. He is now married to the love of his life, and they have two children. And he has continued to do work throughout the world, raising over $450 million for HIV and AIDS education and to support those living with HIV and AIDS throughout the world. But it took him learning to love himself, learning to accept himself for who he is and who God created him to be. Each one of us is loved by God. We are extraordinary in the creation that we are. We just need to learn to be okay with who we are. We need to learn to say, God made me, I'm okay, and God loves me. That acceptance will allow us to love one another, to go out into the world, to be God's people, so that we can shine that love among the world and give it to one another. We're here today so we can be a little bit better. We're here today to learn to love ourselves so that we can more freely love God. Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, you created us. You made us, and you love us. Lord, help us learn to accept who we are, to like ourselves, so that then we can begin to love ourselves in order that we might love you more fully. Creator God, help us as we grow into the people you have called us to be, that we might be able to shine that love. Lead us and guide us. Help us to find ways to support one another, to lift one another up, even when we are in those deep, dark places and we feel like there is no hope. We know, Lord, that there is hope in you. Continue to mold and shape us so that we might more fully love you and love those around us. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 at 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much, I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space. Such a timeless flight. We invite you to stand and sing with us. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to fight. I'm not the man they think I am at home. I know, no, no. I'm a rocket man. Place to raise your kids. In fact, it's cold as hell, and there's no one there to raise them. If you did, and all the signs I don't understand. It's just my job, 5 days a week. A rocket man, rocket man. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find. I'm not the man. I'm a rocket man.
This week, I hope that you will remember and accept who God created you to be and be okay with it so that you can feel and know God's love. Amen.